Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I know it's pretty late at night, but I've been trying to get to this for a long time. So here we are. You know, there are those who say that it's time to give it up. It's time to give it up. Like, we've been asking relentlessly for Mashiach to come for more than 1950 years. I mean, clearly Hashem has not listened to us. So they say, maybe we're just supposed to, like, you know, just give it up. Like, let's stop asking for Mashiach, and let's daven for like little things. Let's pray for peace in Israel. let's pray for good health for our families and for our loved ones, for an end to suffering. Let's pray for more peace in the world. Like, and you know, God will bring Mashiach. I mean, it's a cornerstone of Jewish faith. Everybody recognizes that. But maybe our insistence on demanding the coming of Mashiach and incessantly asking for the coming of Mashiach, maybe it's not effective. Maybe it doesn't look good. they claim that the Gemara, the Talmud, actually backs them up. So let's take a look at that. And I'm, of course, in this lesson going to demonstrate to you that that's entirely wrongheaded and the furthest from the truth. But we need to deal with it because there are voices that express themselves as such, and some of them are pious people, observant people. Like, they consider themselves to be devout, and they're probably well-intentioned. They're just wrongheaded. And that is the point of episode 46. So we're going to begin in a fascinating Gemara that's found in Masechet Sota. The Gemara is found on Daf Yud Gimel, Amud Beis, page 13, side B. The Gemara talks about Yosef HaTzadik. The Gemara talks about some of the circumstances of him coming down to Egypt. A lot of fascinating stuff. And then the Gemara talks about the burial of Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moses had a burial, like the greatest burial in history, where the omnipresent, God himself, as it were, buries Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe is getting buried and nobody knows where he's buried. So the Gemara goes on and talks about this. And then the Gemara says that when God responds to Moshe Rabbeinu, after his repeated entreaty, his like prayer sessions, 115 prayer sessions, communion like the gematria of the word Ve'etchanan, and I pleaded and I begged. So when Moshe Rabbeinu finishes 115 prayer sessions, God says to him, yeah, that's enough. That's gonna be enough. And actually we find it in the Chumash. It says, Vayis'aber Hashem b'lemanchem. This is found in Deuteronomy, chapter 3, verse 26. Moshe Rabbeinu says, God was angry at me because of, you know, the way I responded to you, because of our interactions. God does not listen to me. Vayoymer Hashem Eli, God said to me, Ravloch al toisef daber Eli oid bedavar hazeh. That's enough. Sufficient. It's time for this to stop. Time for this to stop. You're praying excessively. That's it. I don't want to hear. Your entreaty in this regard is sufficient and it's over. From now on, speak to me no more regarding this issue. Al tosef daber Eli oid bedavar hazeh. It's right there in the Chumash. So the Gemara expounds on this verse and says, what does it mean? What's Ravlach? Like, in other words, clearly there's a, it seems to be superfluous. God says, Ravlach, al tosef Eli. Ravlach is like, enough already, sufficient. That's too much. I mean, God just told Moshe Rabbeinu, don't talk to me about this anymore. Please stop asking me. Why does Hashem have to use this unusual expression? It's too much for you. Enough already. So these superfluous words in the Torah that prefaces God's instructions to Moshe Rabbeinu to stop pleading clearly seem to be telling us something. So the Gemara wants to know, what is it telling us? And the Gemara, Gemara suggests first that Hashem was telling Moshe Rabbeinu, or Moshe Rabbeinu was kind of sharing, that Rav Lach, Rav Levi said Moshe Rabbeinu told the Jewish people when he faced off with the rebellion against him led by Korach, he said, Rav Lachem, that's too much for you. You guys are, you're reaching too far. And now Hashem uses the same terminology to him, as if to say that, you know, Berav Bisar Rav Lachem, Berav Bisruhu Rav Lachem. Moshe Rabbeinu's message to the people was, that's too much. So he kind of got, I don't know how to say this right, maybe a taste of his own medicine sounds very, very harsh. But that's, I mean, that's basically the way you proclaimed it is how I proclaim it back to you. And then there's another interpretation where the Gemara says, Davracha, Rav Loch. Rav means like a superior, like a mentor, like a Rav, a master. So you have a master now. In other words, that Yehoshua, his time has come. As Rashi says, Rav Yesh Loch, Higia Malchusei Shel Yehoshua, the royalty, the monarchy, the leadership of Yehoshua has arrived, Ve'en Lochom Malchus Negas Bechavrata. When one tenure ends, it cannot overlap into the next. So there's somebody else who now has to take that position. So you can't go to Eretz Yisrael because there's already another Rav who's been appointed, another master, another leader. And then the Gemara says, explains it, you know, in its literal iteration, and incidentally Rashi talks about this in his commentary, quoting this as the first of the interpretations. And the Gemara says, Dover Acher, another, and this is the final word, Rav Loch, enough, stop it, this is too much. The Gemara says, Shele Yemru HaRav, Kama Kosha, the Talmud, Kama Sarvan. So that they shouldn't say, look at that Rav, he's obstinate, meaning referring to God. As if to say that God looks very harsh here. Because he keeps saying no, and Moshe Rabbeinu is like looks like what a pity. He's like endlessly imploring and begging and pestering God. It just doesn't look good. That's the bottom line. It doesn't look appropriate. So the answer is going to be no anyway. Stop asking me. Rashi says, Rav Loch, Dai Locha. It's sufficient, enough for you. Al tarba bevakasha, please do not ask more than is appropriate, necessary. Shele yomru, they shouldn't say, harav kama kasha. Look how harsh the master is. Eino shomea le Talmud. He just refuses to listen to his disciple. The Talmud kama sarvan. Look at the Talmud, how he's imploring, how he's pleading, how he's begging, how he's pestering. Maftzer, endlessly asking. And then Rashi goes to cite some cross-references from other places in the Talmud, which talk to us about the idea of Sarvan. So, in other words, the master has said to Moshe, stop pleading incessantly, stop asking. It doesn't look right. God makes it clear he's not going to relent. The answer is going to be no. And as such, the prayers are inappropriate. So it looks like unseemly for both God and for Moshe. And that's Rav Loch. So the Gemara says this, you know, seems a little harsh. The Gemara is going to ask, it seems a little harsh. And the Gemara is going to give us an answer. But so there's this misguided school of thought that says, look at that, you see? When the answer is no, and then no, and no, and no, and no, at some point you have to stop asking. It doesn't look good. It doesn't look good that we're putting God in a bad light. For reasons that God knows, Mashiach isn't here yet. Well, there is no reason, there's no explanation. That's in God's hands. Then, for heaven's sake, leave it in God's hands. And it doesn't look good for you. The Jewish people are supposed to be Yisrael HaMkreivei, God's beloved people. And when we ask and when we daven and Hashem listens to us, he's not listening to us. We've been begging and pleading for so long, almost 2 millennia. Maybe we shouldn't ask for it anymore because it just doesn't look right. Maybe we should play hard to get. Like say, listen, God, you know, you do whatever you want. We're here to serve you. We're here to try to improve your world and make it a holy place and a godly place. And when you're ready to bring the curtain down on Galut and usher in Mashiach, we're going to be delighted to welcome him. We know it's a principle of our faith. We have absolute faith and conviction that Mashiach is going to come. In fact, even anticipate Mashiach coming. We're just not going to talk about it. We're not going to ask you anymore because it doesn't look right. And these people will point to the Gemara and say, well, that is what the Gemara is saying. So on Shabbos Parshas, Acharimais Kedoshim, in the year 1985, Tosh Mem Hei, the Rebbe spoke about this. It wasn't really the focus of his talk, but at some point the Rebbe moved into this subject. And the Rebbe said that there are those who maintain that the Gemara says so. So the Rebbe said that there's no proof from the Gemara at all, because if you just look a line later, the Gemara says, the kol kach lomo? I mean, and why was it so harsh? And why did Hashem tell Moshe Rabbeinu to stop asking? And what would have been if you know, he would have allowed Moshe Rabbeinu into Eretz Yisrael? So the Gemara says, Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael, lefum gamlo shichno. Rashi says, that means lefikoach hagomol marbin b'masa'o. In accordance with the stamina, the strength, the wherewithal of the camel. So that's how the camel driver loads him up. So afkan, here too, lefit sidkato medaktek achrav. In accordance with Moshe Rabbeinu's extraordinary righteousness, Hashem was very demanding and very exacting. In other words, the answer essentially is based on a common aphorism of the time where people use camels. And, you know, this idea that based on the camel is the burden. And in other words, that a person will be judged in accordance with his or her stature. And if a person is extraordinarily righteous, then they will be dealt with in extraordinary ways. Hashem will take extraordinary precise measures and be very exacting in his demands and the consequences that he meets out. So, I mean, if you just think about the words of the Gemara for a moment here, the Gemara clearly says that this is a God-Moses conversation. This is not, this doesn't indicate how we should or shouldn't pray. This is God speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu, and it's Lefum Gam L'Shichna, which is explaining a situation about Moshe and Moshe Rabbeinu himself. Okay, there'll be those that persist and say, oh, fine. So the Gemara does say that it's talking about Moshe Rabbeinu, but maybe the question of the Gemara was, why was God's punishment so harsh? And maybe that's the question. And how do you know that it's not true, that it doesn't look good, that Hashem keeps saying no? He's been saying no for 1950 years. And we keep asking that we don't seem kind of like, I don't know, bunch of losers. We don't. Hashem doesn't answer our prayers. We suffer endlessly in Golos. So the Rebbe said this. The Rebbe said, this was spoken about with regard to the prayer of Moshe Rabbeinu about his going into Eretz Yisrael. However, there's a sharp contrast and world of difference when we're talking about the tefillah and bekasha al hageula. And I will share with you the Rebbe's words, at least as they are redacted or were recorded. I'm going to share with you, I'm using the Hebrew version, so the way it was, I was at the Verbrengen, I don't remember it. In Hebrew, they wrote, Hare Adrabe. On the contrary, Ritzoinoi Shalakodesh Baruch Hu, it is the will of God, Shebnei Yisrael Yevakshu V'Yischananu V'Yavtziru. It is the will of Hashem that the Jewish people plead and entreat and continuously, incessantly demand al oides in yinagula. And here the Rebbe began to quantify his statement. So I want to just tell you, as a chassid, like, that's good enough for me. The Rebbe knows the whole Torah and it's all. If the Rebbe is telling us matter of fact, that's how it is, that, like, you know, for me it ends right there. But okay, you should know that the Rebbe qualified his words. He didn't just say things. Like, there are certain leaders in the Torah world who don't necessarily quantify or qualify their words or source their words. And people say, well, you know, this is a great scholar. If he says it, it is so. And there could be truth to that, but I must tell you that the Rebbe always sourced and quoted everything that he said. In his humility, maintaining that there was almost nothing original, that he was simply repeating that which is already written, merely arranging it and choreographing it so people would see it more clearly. The Rebbe said, first and foremost, we can see a different message in Sefer Tehillim. And we know that David HaMelech, when he redacted his Tehillim, and especially when he wrote his Tehillim, he did so on behalf of every single Jew. He's called David Ne'im Zemirot Yisrael. David HaMelech embodies. And David HaMelech gives ear to the desires, to the yearning, to the prayers of every single member of Am Yisrael. We can all find ourselves in Sefer Tehillim. In the 74th Psalm, David HaMelech is pleading with Hashem. He says, we're living in a dark time. Ototeno lo ra'inu. He's speaking in our voice. David HaMelech lived in an illuminated time. We don't see the wonders. We don't see the signs. I haven't seen the signs. Ein od Navi. David HaMelech was himself a Navi, and there were many Navim in David HaMelech's time. He's taken out our times. He says, there is no longer any Navi. As Rashi tells us, we see, b'yamim rabim sha'anu b'goyla, we can see that in the days, many days later, that we are in Galut. And here, in this particular Psalm, Psalm 74, it's actually David HaMelech redacting the words of Asaph, who himself wasn't a prophet per se, but he spoke beruach HaKodesh, with higher consciousness. So Nisnave, the Rashi even says here, Nisnave, that Asaph here did prophesy. Al Yemeha Galut, he's speaking about the days of Galut. And he says, we aren't seeing the signs. It doesn't look right, Rebbeinu Shalom. Your people are your chosen people, are your beloved people, but they seem chosen for suffering and derision and disgrace. It's like, Rebbeinu Shalom, please, it's not fair. Ein Oid Novi, we have no clarity. We don't have anybody to give us any true guidance, any show us, like, what's really going on beneath the camouflage, behind the smoke screen. We don't know where this is going. What does this mean? What are we talking about here? When we say Ein Anu Yudea Itanu, we don't know how long. The Radak is very clear. Ein Itanu Yudea Adma, we don't know till when, we don't know how long. Tihye Hageula. We're talking about the Geula. And David HaMelech uses very sharp language, or Asaf HaMeshor. He says, Ad matai Elokim yechoref tzor? How long will the adversary disgrace us? You know it's Oyev Shimcha LeNetzach. How long will this the animary shame and disgrace, Rashi Mitzudus Tzion says, you know it's. David HaMelech didn't tell us to stop saying Psalm 74 at some point. The Book of Tehillim was gifted to the Jewish people so that we can use it all the time. And it's very clear when it comes to Golos, when it comes to our exilic reality, Ein Itanu Yedei Admo, we don't understand why we're still in Golos. What's the very next word? Admosai! So how much longer? And then the Rebbe said, if you move forward to Psalm 83, we hear Asaph again. And Asaph this time says, Elikim Aldomiloch. Aldomiloch Mitzudasin says, Inyan Shtika. Don't be silent, God. God, don't be silent. Do not be silent. Al Techerash. Do not be quiet. Al Tishkert. Don't be still. Don't be relaxed. Don't be Mitzudah Siyan says Tishkeit means Inya Menucha. What are we talking about here? We're talking about the pain, the suffering of Golos. Your enemies are in an uproar to destroy us. They've raised those who hate you. They've raised their head. They're plotting deviously against the Jewish people. What are they saying? They're conspiring against us. They want to end our nationhood. They don't want the name Israel to be mentioned anymore. Sounds familiar? Talk about strong words. Al domilach, al techerosh, al tishkeit. Powerful stuff. And what I found most fascinating is that Rabbeinu Moshe Alshech, when he speaks about this very verse, he says, we start Elokim. Elokim is the name of God that's used for a time of judgment. Says the Alshech, Shehi Shechina Shebegalut. We're talking about the divine presence when it is in a state of exile, like now. So we demand from Hashem. We're demanding from Hashem not to be silent. We're demanding from Hashem that He avenge and our enemies. He avenge us and punish our enemies. Al techerash, says the Rabbeinu Moshe Alshech, Churban Rishon. Don't be silent about the first destruction. Al tishkeit, don't be quiet. Al hasheni, the second destruction. These are the first two Batei Migdash, the first and second temples. So what's the punishment that we're expecting to be meted out? What's the consequence that now should come from the first and the second temples? The Babylonians are long gone. They don't exist. There are no Romans. What are we asking Hashem for? We're asking Hashem for restoration of the third base of Migdash. And we use this very strong language. Al-Dami, Al-Techresh, Al-Tishkit. So, for a person to say that because God told Moshe Rabbeinu that he shouldn't pray about going into Eretz Yisrael, because God decreed it that Yehoshua should be the one that leads the Jewish people into Eretz Yisrael, and Moshe Rabbeinu should not be the one, and it's unseemly, therefore, if Moshe asks, for somebody to infer from that we shouldn't ask for Golos, which basically contradicts the prayers, the tefillot in Sefer Tehillim, is unthinkable. It's not only not sensible, it's unthinkable. In fact, you could argue it's like it's almost heresy. So not the Rebbe's words, it's my words. Rebbe's just pointing out that this is the Lashon HaKosov. Then the Rebbe said furthermore, when it comes to davening, we daven on a regular basis. Our Chachamim establish the davening, and the davening, our prayers, our daily prayers, are recited thrice daily. Thrice daily. And in temple times, and certainly in antiquity, even after the temple times, they would sometimes pray four times a day. Not three times, but four times a day. As the Gemara in Masechet Ta'anit tells us, that B'shleisha Prakim Bashana, it says there were three times a year, Kohanim Nosim et Kapeim, Arba Pamim, that Kohanim would bless us four times, Shachrit, Musaf, Mincha, and a prayer called Ne'ilah. It's a Ne'ilah, that's a Yom Kippur thing. Well, no, actually, Rashi says, V'nohagim hayu lehitpalel tefillat Ne'ilah, B'chol Ta'anitam. They would daven Ne'ilah. It wasn't a holiday. It was a regular Shmoneh Esrei. The prayers, as we have them asking for our needs, are a little bit limited and curbed on Shabbat and Yom Tov. But a weekday, when they had a fast, so if you had Tfilat Ne'ilah, they had a weekday prayer, which means that our sages instituted that these words be said every day, three times a day, and sometimes a fourth time. Now, what are the words? Estzemach David Avdecha Mehera Tatzmiach. Speedily, speedily, Hashem, please cause the Sion of David, your servant, to sprout, to flourish. And we ask Mehera that it should be done speedily. And the Chachamim didn't tell us that at a certain point the davening expires. And I don't believe any of the naysayers is suggesting, Chas v'Shalom, that we should stop davening Shmoneh Esrei. It's in our Amidah, our daily prayers. Once, on a regular basis, it could have been said four times a day. When you pray, you're supposed to focus on what you're davening. We ask Hashem Mehera Tatzmiach, V'karnei Torem Bishua Secha, you increase His power by your salvation. And even on Shabbat and Yom Tov, where we don't say a Semach David Avdcha Meheder Satzmiach, two blessings later in the Shemoneh Esrei, we say V'sechazeno Einenu B'shuvcha Letzion Berachamim. May our eyes behold your return to Tzion. May our eyes behold. The Rebbe said, even on Shabbat and Yom Tov, we're asking that our eyes, and the Rebbe said, it doesn't say, V'sechezeno, may it be seen, as if we're okay if it's some future generation. We're asking that Mashiach come in our time, because it says, V'sechezeno, einenu, our eyes. Einenu daika. We're not suggesting that at some future point we have absolute faith and conviction and hope that Mashiach is going to come and someday somebody is going to see v'sechazena, the restoration of Tzion and Yerushalayim. V'sechazena einenu. That's a request. That's a prayer. So give it up? Really? And then there's this exquisite prayer that we recite on Shabbat at Musaf. It's called Keser. It happens during the repetition of the Shemoneh Esrei. And this idea of Keser literally means a crown. And these are anthropomorphical, metaphorical, parabolic terms. So Keser, in the spherotic tree, in the what we call, I guess, Seder Hishtalshelus, in the chain-like progression of descent that characterizes the spiritual cosmos, Keser is identified with divine pleasure, with Tainuk. And divine pleasure, in God's words, comes to him when we make this world a godly place. And as the Medrash says, Nisava le'akodesh baruch hu dir betachtenim, God desires a dwelling place in this world. So once a week, on the Holy Shabbat, after having risen at a decent hour and studied Torah, Chassidus before, and then davened, we prayed Shacharit, then we hear the Torah, which is an amazing spiritual download. And then after the Torah reading, in many communities, the rabbi will expound on the oral Torah, so you have Torah Shebichtav, the written Torah, the holy and spiritual experience of hearing the actual Torah being read, the Sefer Torah, and then the Torah being expounded, and then we're up to Musaf, and like we should be in a higher, elevated state of consciousness, and we're ready to say Keter, ready to give God this crown, as the Alter Rebbe explains in a Maimer. That means that us, the created beings, Keser Yitnu Lecha, we're going to give you. We're identifying with this whole process and this idea that Hashem's pleasure is to be found through our actions, through our choices, through our thoughts and communication and deeds that are done as Hashem wants it to be, and that brings nachas, and that this creation of a world that is devoid of godliness, which seems to be an extraordinary descent, is actually for the reason of an appropriate ascent. It's a yirida l'tzeirich aliyah. So we're in this exalted spiritual state, And there's a keser, this crown that we're giving to God, proverbially speaking, represents then an active identification and appreciation of the deepest essence of divinity and our submission and commitment and humility before Hashem to do what He wants. And as the Rebbe put it, in the Rebbe's words, that when we say keser, the Rebbe said it's a tefillah nailus b'yoser, extremely exalted prayer. That in this prayer is mudgash, is emphasized the idea that we Am Yisrael, are uniquely positioned to bring that crown to Hashem by virtue of the kind of lives we lead. Keser yitnu lecha. Ve'amcha Yisrael kvutzei mata. We say before Hashem that this is your people. This is Israel, Yisrael. not just malachim hamoinim ayla, not just the angels and the hosts of the higher realms. No, this is Yisrael kvutzimata, us, here gathered, congregated. And what do we say? We go on to say, after this loud and joyous declaration of Hashem's unity, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, then we say, Hu Elokeinu, Hu Avinu, He is our God, He is our Father, and we say, Hu Yeshienu V'Yigaleinu Sheinis. We clearly state that Hashem is going to redeem us. He's going to redeem us. I mean, it's clearly talking about Mashiach. He will deliver us and redeem us, and he'll bring us home. And then we say, "Hengo alti eschem." It's like Hashem has already redeemed us. In other words, after reciting the Shema, we are now feel this profound sense of oneness with Hashem. That we understand that the divine promise of geula, of redemption, is actually something we identify with as the truest essence of our being and of the world's existence. And it's almost like Hengo alti eschem. It's almost like Hashem has like already redeemed us this last time. So great is our surety and our confidence and our desire in the coming of Mashiach. We're already able to refer to it in past tense. No, I ask you, no. That jibes with the idea. Time to give it up. Chas v'shalom. Of course it doesn't. That approach is simply wrong. Entirely wrong. It doesn't fit within the realm of the way our prophets and our sages taught us to entreat, to pray, to daven, to request, and to beseech. So in closing for this episode, it's clear that all of us have a sacred duty and a responsibility to continue to pray from the very depths of our heart that Mashiach should finally come and take us home and end the bitter gullus and usher in the beautiful, new, illuminated, perfected world of redemption. May it be b'mheiro, b'yameinu, speedily, and in our days. Amen. Thank you for joining. In our next episode, we're going to revisit this and take it further by analyzing the essence of the concept of prayer and its deeper motif and message for all of us. In the meantime, thanks for joining. Please share. If you haven't yet subscribed, please do so. And it's your support that enables us to continue to share uplifting messages of Torah, Yiddishkeit, and the need for us to storm the heavens and finally bring Mashiach b'mheira u'b'yameinu. Amen. Thank you.